Well, hello and a very warm welcome to The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with AK Bets. And it is the Open. The Open Championship is upon us, the 152nd Open. And on the punter's bag, as ever, our golf expert, betting guru, Steve Palmer. Steve, I'm trying to buoy you up, right? Okay, it's not come home. The Euros, catastrophe in the final. But what a week of golf.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, viewers. Yes, I feel a bit better today than I did yesterday. Sunday night, obviously heartbreaking. Hosted a barbecue, great sense of occasion, loads of people in there, and the Cole Palmer goal, probably the highlight of my life. But it wasn't to be. So yeah, been picking up the pieces, but now fully focused on the Open Championship and confident of success.
And one of the big ones, right? And I had a little look at the calendar, Steve, and we should enjoy this one, embrace it, because I make it sort of 250 odd days until the next major.
Yes, of course. They're all squeezed in now, aren't they, the majors, into a four-month period. We used to have the USPGA to look forward to in August. But yeah, you're right. After this major, a big wait until the Masters.
Okay, right. As ever, we are live on the Racing Post YouTube channel. So make sure you like, comment and subscribe. And I mentioned live because we will be on Sunday. We will be doing a watch along, Steve. I know you're revved up and ready for that.
Yes, 2:30 kickoff, I believe. 2:30 kickoff. Should have gone to the dentist. Don't forget 2:30.
2:30. Right, of course, we're brought to you by AK Bets as well. And they've got a new welcome offer, a brand new one for you. Place your first bet on any golf market at all with a new account, and you'll get 50% of your stake back up to £25. Their terms and conditions apply. Of course, Sweet Spot 25 is all about the code. All about the code, Sweet Spot 25. That is your welcome offer. Right, before we look ahead, we will look back and a mixture of success and agony last week, Steve. But we're going to start with the good stuff. We're going to go to Valderrama. We're going to go to Sergio. Now, the only bet I had last week was him in the top 10. He sold it to me. He was nailed on. He didn't just get the top 10. He won the lot.
Yeah, he got the top one. He got the top one thanks to Anirban Lahiri missing a tiddler on the final hole. I mean, that was the, apart from the Cole Palmer goal, I'd say that was the highlight of Sunday. Anirban Lahiri had a very short putt to win it in regulation. The putt was sort of shorter than the baguettes I used to eat after a big night out in my younger days. It looked unmissable, but pressure got to him. It's a big swing actually from it just went hard left on him, and that gave Garcia a reprieve, because Garcia three putted his final hole. It looked like an agonising near miss for us, but got into a playoff against Lahiri, and then only one winner from there. You felt because they both felt so differently about being in that playoff. So that's Garcia's fourth Valderrama victory now, three on the DP World Tour, and then once on the LIV circuit there. So yeah, it was a great tournament for us, because we tipped the fireballs as well, Dave. You know, we never get the team stuff done in time for the sweet spot, but in Thursday's Racing Post, we tipped the fireballs, which is Sergio Garcia's team. So the fireballs won that, and then Garcia won the individual title. It was fantastic stuff.
Just a quick note on that, Steve. I'm going to use the dreaded M word here. Right, going into a playoff, momentum. Player that joins the leader rather than the player that maybe falls away or ends up sort of giving away the lead late on.
Yeah.
I can never be with that guy.
No, that's right. No, Garcia felt so relieved to be in it. Lahiri was just smiling at the madness of his missed putt. And then it gave fireballs momentum as well, because Abraham Ancer suddenly had his tail up. David Puig, Eugenio Chicara. So it was a great day for Spain all round. I mean, Spain won that. You know, that's essentially a Spanish side. Then they win the tennis final, Wimbledon. And then, of course, they win the football. So, a great day to be a Spaniard.
Indeed. Right. It was also a great day to be a Scot as well. If you've got the Scottish Open, Bobby Mack doing the business. Now, I did catch some of this, Steve, and it was a joy to watch. A lovely golf course, beautiful stuff. Drivers off the deck everywhere. Bobby Mack, Adam Scott with an absolute peach off the deck as well. Some incredible golf.
Can you hit a driver off the deck, Dave?
I can hit one. I'm not sure where it's going. The trajectory is going to be pretty low, but I can, we can get one off the deck.
Old player, isn't it? But yeah, a heartwarming victory for Bobby Mack. Yeah, I think a lot of punters would have backed him as well. He was 40-1. I strongly considered him, but He'd been going through a lot of caddies recently. A pretty wishy-washy reason for me to overlook him, but he'd been going through caddies. Remember, his dad caddied for him in the Canadian Open win not long ago. But he seems to have settled now on Mike Burrow. He's gone back to an old caddy. Mike Burrow was caddying for him last week. They're all smiles after the victory. I think that's a full-time appointment now. But it must be noted, the massive break on the 70th hole has been the talk of golf since. His ball was buried in the rough. It was going to be a hack out. And then he suddenly felt his heel on a sprinkler head. I mean, a sprinkler head in the rough. I mean, it's so rare, like a gift from the gods. And then got his free drop from there and was able to get onto the green and made eagle. So dramatic scenes on the 70th hole there. He took a full advantage of it. All credit to him. Eagle, par, birdie finish to win his home open. And he's absolutely delighted. I mean, partying ever since. I mean, he said he was going to party hard. He didn't care about the open coming up. Goodness knows what condition he's in.
I've got to ask you about Ludwig Aubert. It looked like he had the tournament at his mercy at one point, and he shot three over in the final round, and that round stood out like a sore thumb because there were shots to be made all over the course.
But he played like a robot over the first 3 days. It was vintage Aubert. And then final round 73, he was two shots clear going into the final round. He was three over par for the back nine. I mean, it was an implosion from one of the greatest players on the planet. So, a sudden drop in form. He's had this knee niggle. He's not been getting down for putts comfortably. Maybe that was hurting him on Sunday. I don't know. But, a shocking implosion.
And the other one I want to whisper quietly was a tied for fourth, Rory McIlroy.
Well, yes, we'll come for him. We'll come to him in the Open Championship preview. I mean, again, he's just always there or thereabouts, isn't he? Always contending. And that was a nice, gentle loosener for him. He got all the difficult questions out the way beforehand. So, they won't be talking about Pinehurst so much this week in his media conference. I think McIlroy will be pleased how last week went.
Okay, right. And we'll now move on to the ISCO Championship won by Harry Hall. And what sort of price would he have been, Steve, at the start?
50 to 1. It was such a weak grade. And he had progressive form figures. He was playing okay. Obviously, it was such a tough watch that straight after the England game. I mean, the England game, you go from throwing your daughter around the garden in glee and 15 minutes later, agony. And then with this one, it was quite similar because Pearson Coody, we only had two tips for that, and 80-1 Coody was one of them, and he played so well. He opened with a 61. He was leading all the way, and then in the final round, he just a bit loose off the tee in the final round, and ended up in a playoff. It's a long story, Dave. You take it. I'm too hard.
It was a five-way. It was a five-way playoff, so it was an incredible one. But you texted me, didn't you, saying that we were on 59 watch in the opening round, so he was always in position.
Yeah. First round, he was on for a 59. He was in control of the tournament for the first 3 days. And then, on Sunday, it was a chip in that killed us, though, Dave. I doubt many people were awake at gone midnight on Sunday night. Harry Hall chipped in at the third playoff hole. Five-man playoff. Matt Naismith and Pearson Coody were the only ones left alongside Harry Hall at that point. It's a good place return. Good place return.
Drama anyway. Right, we'll finally look at the Evian Championship. Explain to us what happened there, Steve.
Ayaka Furore. There's a lot of debate on how you pronounce the Japanese player. I'm going to go with Ayaka Furore just for the fun of it. She's a 24-year-old Japanese. Yeah, very tidy player. Major breakthrough. She was 20-1 winner.
Good stuff. Right. Busy last week. Just the two tournaments to get stuck into this week. However, one of them is the Open Championship at Royal Troon. Tell us about the course first, Steve. 2016, Mickelson versus Stenson, drama, but an iconic course.
Yeah, what a major that was. I mean, those two play some of the best golf ever seen in the Open. Incredible scoring. Yeah, Royal Troon. South Ayrshire, Scotland, 7,385 yards, par 71, three par fives, hosting for the 10th time. The most recent ones, 1989, 1997, 2004 and 2016, as you mentioned. There was a streak of six consecutive American winners of the Open at Troon until Henrik Stenson stopped that sequence 8 years ago. A course of contrasts, The first six holes run alongside the coast. Then we move inland. The front nine much easier than the back nine. The rough really juicy, really juicy. You've had a wet summer, as you know, and the rough is very penal. Bunkers everywhere. Lots of wind in the forecast as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a serious test. Yeah, you mentioned Stenson and Mickelson. Yeah, Stenson was 20 under par. Mickelson was 17 under par. But don't be fooled, because there was an 11-shot gap to the player in third. JB Holmes finished third at 6 under par. So it's just those two just playing golf from the gods. But the rest of the field found it difficult. And I don't think it's going to be easy this week. A field of 1-5-6 going to post.
And just to touch on something you mentioned there, this is like a game of two halves. The front nine versus the back nine is going to be make all your shots on the front nine and then cling on for dear life coming home.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my good lady wife is often telling me, don't get your hopes up, because I tend to get a bit overexcited when my player's doing well. If you see your player 5 under par through 6 holes, say, don't get your hopes up, because he might lose all those shots on the back nine, because the front nine traditionally downwind as well. So you've got the easier nine, the shorter nine, prevailing wind downwind, and then the back nine, the tougher nine, the longer nine, is usually into the wind. So and obviously everyone off the first hole, so expect fast starts. If you're an in-running golf punter this week, anticipate fast starts and difficult finishes.
And I've got to talk to you and ask you about the iconic postage stamp as well. Going to see a hole in one there.
Possibly. But it's going to be very windy. So, when you've got a wedge in your hand and it's howling with wind, you might see a few choked down 7-iron, chippy sevens and whatnot. I mean, it's not an easy hole. It is, short holes not necessarily mean easy holes. Anything short is doomed, really. So, I can't wait to see the postage stamp, Dave.
Yeah, there's a lovely Sky Sports done a wonderful feature with Wayne Riley on the green, just discussing, and he called one of the bunkers the pencil bunker, and it doesn't even look like there's enough room to get a swing out of it. So there will be carnage. So we'll see some big numbers. They're looking forward to that. So when we're talking about what sort of player are we looking for, Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, that is difficult because it is such a course of contrast. You've got some wide fairways, you've got some tight fairways, but I think that the wind is the main factor. If you're backing someone who's potentially uncomfortable in the wind, I can't see him winning, because all 4 days, really consistent breeze. Every session of golf you watch will have some sort of breeze, and at times it'll be absolutely howling. So, I want dependable ball strikers who I can trust in the breeze.
Okay, and we mentioned 2016. In terms of winners at the course or similar courses, is there anything of note there?
Well, Americans. I mean, it's unusual to... you get 6 American winners on the trot before Stenson. It's playing quite soft this week because, again, the British summer's so miserable. So, a softer open venue than usual, which, again, would suit the American challenge, wouldn't it?
It would. Right, I'll tell you what I'll do. Before we get your picks, we'll do a show, because something quite remarkable with AK Bets. Now, I've got to qualify by the fact that the each-way terms are different, of course. But you go all the way down to Stuart Sink, who's available 750-1 elsewhere, and I say just 500-1 with AK Bets. Every player above him, AK Bets, a top price, which is absolutely incredible. Scottie Scheffler, 6s, McIlroy, 9s, Ludvig Aubert at 16, Schauffele, 16, Bryson DeChambeau, 18s, Morikawa, 18s, Fleetwood, a pony, 25. John Rahm, 28, all top price. If you're looking to win this golf tournament, the win price, the win part of your bet, if you're playing each way, AK Bets, top price, as far as you can see, all the way down to Stuart Sink. So incredible. Each way terms are different, of course, but if you're looking to win this tournament, which I know you are, Steve, top price with AK Bets. Right.
It'll probably Stuart Sink out now you've said that. Yeah.
Well, listen, so be it. Right. How many in the team for the Open?
We've got 6. And 3 at massive prices. 3 at massive prices.
Good stuff. Right. The lead selection is
Xander Schauffele, 16-1 with AK Bets. What a price that is. I've had Schauffele on my mind for this tournament all year. And the way 2024 has gone, my confidence has just increased. He was making swing changes over Christmas and at the start of the year, you might remember. The first few months, a bit tentative. But it's all come good. Yeah, from spring onwards, he's been amazing. He's added significant yardage. The swing changes have bedded in. He nearly won the Players' Championship at Sawgrass in March. He tied second in that. Then he nearly won the Wells Fargo Championship. You remember Rory McIlroy turned into Superman on the final day to beat him in that. All these agonising near misses. But then the USPGA Championship in May, a birdie at the final hole. After all the near misses, he became a major champion. Such a weight lifted off Schifele's shoulders. Honestly, he's been smiling so much since. So relieved. He was seventh in the US Open. He's finished in the top 20 in his last 10 tournaments. Never had a more complete game. He's even putting superbly. He's weakness-free. Xander Schifele is weakness-free coming into this Open. And I love that Scottish Open prep last week. Playing in the Scottish Open has become a useful guide. You know, 8 of the last 12 Open winners, Dave, have played in the Scottish Open the previous week. And Schifele's warm-up was perfect. Rounds of 69, 65, 67, 67, a share of 15th place. Didn't drop a shot over the final three rounds. Solid as a rock. Goes to a more difficult links venue this week, which is perfect for him. He loves difficult golf courses. His majors record is absolutely fantastic. You love stats, Dave. Listen to this. 22 top 10s. Sorry. That would be even more amazing. 22 top 20s in 29 major starts. 14 top 10s. So he's had a top 10 finish in 48% of his major starts. He's finished second in a Masters. He's finished third in a US Open. He's finished second in an Open. Carnoustie 2018, when Tiger Woods was going to transform my life. Schifele finished second in that. His full Open record is 22, 41, 26, 15, 17. Impressively consistent. He's also won the Scottish Open, you'll remember, in 2022. Loves links golf. He's the most appealing in the market principles for me. Another stat for you, Dave, just before I conclude on Schifele. It's worth noting that the last 11 Open winners were all inside the top 40 of the world rankings going into Open week. So I've got three selections that are in the top 40 of the world rankings and then three big price outsiders.
Lovely stuff. Right, Schifele, you mentioned his weakness free. What would you class as his strength?
Oh, it's just all-round solidity, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you look at my golf game, I can putt and I can't do anything else. With Xander Schifele, he has no weaknesses anymore. His putting last year was a bit disappointing, but he's holding everything now. He's got bottle now, isn't he? I mean, Schifele. It's such a strange career for Schifele because he started out ruthless in contention and then had a period of being a bit wobbly. But I think he's back to the old Xander now. He's got the major win. I expect him to be fearless in contention going forwards.
A lot of love for the Americans. Why do you think that is, Steve, that the Americans have got such a good record?
It's a great question. Even my Uncle Arnie, if my Uncle Arnie was still with us, I'd ask him because he's won at Troon. It's an extreme ball striking test. As I say, I think that 2016 event was an anomaly. You know, two players just playing, you know, out of their skin. I think this is a difficult ball striking test. And I think Schifele's made for it. I mean, he was in our majors at the start of the year, you remember, which we were excited about after Scheffler won. But 16-1. I mean, AK Betts, you challenged him to hold that Garcia price last week, didn't you? I challenge him to hold this 16-1. I know I think he's visiting Tony Finau in Utah, isn't he? he's made a trip to Utah to have a chat with Tony Finau. If you can hold that 16-1 to tee off time, I'd be very impressed.
Okay, right. That is the lead tip then from Steve Palmer. Steve, who's the next best?
Tommy Fleetwood, 25-1 with AK Betts. Come on, Tommy. Everyone loves Tommy. Do you love Tommy?
I love the mane.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, the girls love Tommy as well because of his lovely mane. I remember talking to one of his mates at St Andrews once by the putting green. He was telling me the ladies love Tommy because you don't get many long-haired lovers from Liverpool. he's from Southport. It's quite close to Liverpool. But he's a hit with the ladies and he's a hit with me this week because he is made for the Open assignment. He grew up playing links golf in Southport. He's an elite links golfer, superb at controlling his ball flight in a breeze. We're going to get wind all week. He was in terrible form in 2016. Don't be put off by the miscut at Troon in 2016. He was struggling to make a cut anywhere then. He was world number 142 going into that event. This time, he's an in-form world number 12. He won the Dubai Invitational at the start of the year. Loads of decent golf since. Third in the Masters, 26th in the USPGA, 16th in the US Open. Three of his last four starts have yielded top 20s. 34th last week in the Scottish Open, carrying a cold putter all week, but a tidy warm-up spin from tee to green. I think Fleetwood can win the Open. He's been threatening to do so for years. His form figures from the last six Opens, 27, 12, 2, 33, 4, 10. He was runner-up at Portrush, you might remember. He's twice finished runner-up in the Dunhill Links at St. Andrews. He was runner-up in the 2018 US Open. That's, you know, picked by a shot in the 2018 US Open. That was where, you know, you could see that Fleetwood had the potential to win majors. He got the decisive point in the Ryder Cup last year. I think he's ready. I think the self-belief is there, and he's boosted by the return of his caddy, Ian Finnis. Ian Finnis has been absent. He had heart surgery, came back last week in Scotland. These two are, you know, great mates, formidable alliance. So that could be the help we need to get Tommy over the line.
The stars have aligned. And he's one of them that if he wins it and you're not on, you'd be like, ah, Lynx golf in the wind. How have I not played Tommy Fleetwood?
Yeah, absolutely. He is an elite Lynx golfer. You struggle to name many players better than him on a Lynx. And yeah, I think it's all set up for a big week for Tommy. You know, he had his England shirt on Sunday when he turned up at the Renaissance. That was a bold play. All credit to the lad for the bravery. And disappointing for England last week, but maybe this Sunday will go better for England.
Lovely. The ladies' man, Tommy Fleetwood, is the next best. Right, you mentioned you've got six for us, Steve. Who else we got?
Shane Lowry, 45-1 with AK Betts, the man who beat Fleetwood at Royal Portrush in 2019. Lowry was incredible in that Open, an inspired performance to become a major champion. He came close to winning the 2016 US Open, you might remember. He was 12th on his Open title defence. Like Fleetwood, elite Lynx golfer. Lowry won the 2009 Irish Open when he was still an amateur at County Louth, a Lynx course. He was playing Lynx golf last week in Ireland. Tiger Woods used to take that route to the Open. Go to Ireland, get away from the noise, practice on some of the best Lynx courses in the world. Podrick Harrington did the same. So Lowry's taking that route that Pod and Tiger did. It could easily work out. He has to be on a team. He's been impressive this year. Fourth in the Cognizant Classic, third at Bay Hill, sixth in the USPGA, ninth in the Travelers last time out. And don't forget his pairs victory with Rory McIlroy, the Zurich Classic pairs victory in April. Like Fleetwood, missed the cut at Troon in 2016. Don't worry about it. He was missing cuts all over the place then. It came after that heartbreaking US Open defeat. Dustin Johnson pips Lowry in the US Open. Lowry was absolutely gutted. He missed his next four cuts. His head came off. So don't let that put you off.
Okay, a lot of love. There will be a lot of love for Lowry this week as well. He's a popular player. And again, he's one of them, much like Fleetwood, that if you're backing a few players, you almost feel obliged to have him on side because of his record on this sort of course.
Yeah, we've got some really likeable lads on our team this week, haven't we? So yeah, it could not just be betting joy. We just should be joy for the human race.
Okay. Right, who else you got for us, Steve?
Here we go. We're going to get to the bigger prices now. Alex Norén, 90-1 with AK Betts. Alex Norén, another top-class Lynx golfer, another player who relishes tough weather conditions. He finished 46th in the 2016 Open at Troon. Doesn't sound much, but we must make the point that there was a huge draw bias that week. Norén was on the wrong side of the draw and still managed to finish 46th. He's won the Wales Open. He's won the Scottish Open. He's won the British Masters. He's won the BMW PGA. So four DP World Tour wins in the UK. The Scottish Open was at the Castle Stewart Lynx. He's won 10 times in total on the DP World Tour. He's got five Open top 20s on his record. Sixth in the 2017 Open at Birkdale. And he's had seven top 20s this year. Third in the Byron Nelson. 12th in the USPGA. And 10th last week in the Scottish Open. He wasn't even in the Open until last week. Booked a last gasp ticket with a final round 65. Brilliant effort from Alexander Norén. It could be a fairy tale victory.
Yeah, feels like a bit of a free roll, that one, for Alex Norén, having snuck in late.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, who else you got for us, Dave?
We're going even bigger. Victor Perez, 250-1 with AK Bets. Won the Dunhill Links Championship at St Andrews in 2019. That was his DP World Tour breakthrough. He lives in Dundee. He's got access to all of the best links courses in the world. He knows how to play links golf, this lad. He's a three-time DP World Tour champion now. He won the Abu Dhabi Championship, a Rolex Series event last year. He's done okay in the Open. He's finished 34th and 41st in the last two Opens. And he's played well in some elite events. I've got enough confidence in him in elite company to play him at those prices. He was a semi-finalist, you might remember, in the 2021 WGC match play. He was ninth at Sawgrass that year as well. I can see your mind is registering all those memories now. Was 12th. You might remember this one. He was 12th in the USPGA this year, not long ago. And his recent form just really encouraging. He was third in the Canadian Open at the start of last month, 12th in the Memorial signature event, 10th last week in the Scottish Open alongside Noren. Like Noren, closed with a final round 65. So much to like about Victor Perez.
I'm sure, is his wife Scottish? I'm sure I've read that. That's why he lives in Dundee.
Yeah, she was training to be a dentist, I believe. He fell in love. Yeah, he fell in love and decided to make Dundee his home because his lady friend was there. But what an opportunity to become a proficient links golfer. This is a Frenchman who's playing a lot of links golf in practice.
Yeah, I use the term loosely, but home comforts somewhat for him there. I like it. 250-1. And who is the final member of the team?
It's a 500-1 chance with AK Bets, and it's Sammy Valimaki. I want the wind to blow hard so badly this week, Dave. I hope the forecast is right. I want it to blow as strongly as possible all week because all my selections are great in the wind. Valimaki has won twice on the DP World Tour, both at windy locations, the Oman Open and the Qatar Masters. Yeah, this was a good amateur player. He's a former world number 10 amateur, prolific winner of low-grade events, quickly made an impact on the DP World Tour, and then he got a PGA Tour card through his Race to Dubai ranking. And he's made good use of that. He finished runner-up in the Mexico Open on the PGA Tour in February. 12th place in the John Deere Classic the week before last was a timely return to form. And then the miscut by a shot in the Scottish Open last week. I can forgive that. His Friday round was quite encouraging. It was a Friday 68. He was 68th on his Open debut last year. I think he'd do a lot better than that this time. This is a 25-year-old who's still improving. And he's 101st in the world rankings, Dave. So I think 500-1 is way too big.
Lovely stuff. And I've just checked all six top price with AK Bets across the village. So there you go. If you're trying to win this golf tournament, like I know you are, Steve, all six selections, if you're following Steve in, AK Bets, top price or joint top price across the board. Right. We must get stuck into those at the head of the market. Then we'll start with the chef. Now, he's already, two major seasons would kind of represent how well he's played this season, wouldn't it, Steve?
That's fair. It's just the vagaries of the weather in this major. I can't play a 6-1 chance with so much wind in the forecast because, remember, they all go off the first tee. It starts at 6:30 a.m. and then they're still teeing off at 4:30, whatever it is. You're desperate for your player to get a good set of tee times over the first two rounds, and you can't be certain about that. And therefore, playing at really short prices is a gamble. As I say, there was a huge draw bias in the last Open at Troon. You wanted to be out late on the Thursday. If you teed off late on the Thursday in 2016, you had a massive advantage. Stenson and Mickelson took advantage of that better than anyone. But yeah, Scheffler's had the best part of a month out of competition. Hasn't played since the Travelers. Didn't bother with a Scottish Open warm-up. So yeah, there's just not enough to like, I don't think, about Scheffler this week. But obviously, he's the best player in the world.
And obviously, you've been with him before at short prices, but that variable conditions, the wind, is clearly a big factor in your eyes.
That's it. You just need a little bit more luck to win an Open than you do the other ones. And that's why I can't play in this major at such a short price.
Okay, right. I am going to be backing Rory McIlroy, right? I'm quite happy to just admit that, okay? I think I'll be backing Fleetwood as well, but I've got to back McIlroy. It's heart over head, the drill, but
that's fine.
It kind of feels like it can it get any worse for him? If he misses the cut, you know, he's not got over it. If he gets in the frame, he's already blown up. So I kind of feel like it's a little bit of a free hit for him. Yeah, I just want him to be in the frame. Come Sunday, we might see some fireworks.
He's always in the frame, isn't he? His consistency in majors is incredible, but it's better than Tiger Woods. If you look at the top tens from McIlroy majors, he's a top 10 machine in majors. He'll probably contend. He so often does. He was fourth in the Scottish Open last week without really getting out of second gear. And the most important thing to remember, he was on the wrong side of that draw bias in the 2016 Open at Troon, and he finished fifth. Incredible effort at Troon. So he likes this course. I think he'd give it a ruddy good go. Yeah, if you're going to back McIlroy, have an each-way bet. That'll be your tactic, wouldn't it? An each-way bet on McIlroy is sensible. But, that if you're having a win-only bet on McIlroy, it's much more ambitious, because that 10-year winning drought if he doesn't win this week, it'd be a 10-year major winning drought. It's become a huge psychological hurdle. You saw that in the US Open, the closing stages of the US Open. He felt the pressure of ending that drought. There wouldn't be a dry eye in the house.
I think that's what it is, Steve. Like, it feels like a muggy bet to me. It does feel like a mug. But I'm ready for the ride. Okay, I'm ready. So
follow your heart. Yeah, we're not here for long on this planet, are we? I think if you deny your heart the opportunities it craves, then you're wasting your time on this planet. You won't get any criticism from me, though.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's talk about some of the others then. Ludwig Ober, I can't have him after what's happened last week, but what are your thoughts, Steve?
Yeah, he'd be shell-shocked from Sunday. I mean, he's not played much links golf, has he? This is his Open debut. Perhaps still not fully fit. I mean, he's definitely not getting down. He's a bit ginger when he gets down for putts, if that's the right word. There's not enough to play at 16-1 Ober.
Bryson. It shouldn't suit Bryson, but here we are.
Valderrama, poor preparation for an Open for me. I think the LIV guys, that's a negative against all the LIV guys that were playing at Valderrama last week. Totally different assignment to Troon. DeChambeau's got a patchy Open record. He's not a links natural. 18-1 is no value for me.
But Pinehurst shouldn't have suited him either. So there we go. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible. I expect you'll be back in Colin Morikawa, won't you, for your usual top 10?
There he is, our next one we come to. He is the each-way play. He's solid. He won't win, but, all the, AK bets I'm looking now have got top 5, top 10, top 20 markets. And I love to frame up Morikawa. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, he won the Open on debut in 2021, but it was a strange Open. Post-COVID, reduced crowds. But most importantly, fantastic weather. It was sunny in Kent all week. It was a low scoring event. He's missed the cut in his last two Opens. And I feel like he doesn't play well in the wind. I've seen him produce some shockingly bad golf in windy conditions, which is surprising because he's accurate. He's got that control with his irons. But I've seen him implode in windy conditions, and he's going to get plenty of wind this week. So he's another one at the top of the market I don't like. I think Schifele stands out massively as the pick of the market principles.
Well, I want to carry on picking your brains because it is the Open. John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton, another two livers.
Yeah. As I say, I don't think Valderrama's good prep. John Rahm was putting like an elephant last week. Really disappointing on the greens and just a very angry man. We were on him last year for the Open, and he came with a late round and finished second. So, you never rule him out, but he's not for me. It was the other Hatton. Hatton, I mean, he finished third last week. Hatton has found some form, never really contended seriously for a major. I much prefer his compatriot Fleetwood.
Right, and then I want to ask you about Hovland, Kupka, and Cam Smith.
Hovland's coming out with some strange comments. He's just away with the fairies sometimes, isn't he, Hovland? Did you see them? Talking about the human body and various other things. Yeah, check out Hovland's latest comments. I just not quite trusted him at the moment. Who was the other one? Kepka. I mean, Kepka, he's been disappointing in the majors, and he's been disappointing recently. I don't think he's peaking for this. Who was the other one, Dave? Sorry.
Cam Smith.
Blimey, he's almost becoming an irrelevance, isn't he? A lot of these LIV guys just fall off your radar, don't they? Because, you know, we were obviously all tuned in to LIV Golf under Lafia and loving Sergio Garcia, but you know, it's LIV Golf is not watched by that many people, and you know, Cam Smith, you know, wasting his career to many, you know, in many people's eyes. Seems a long time ago that he won the Open at St Andrews, didn't it? Yeah, I don't think this is perfect for him, Troon.
Okay, good stuff. That is Steve Palmer on the market leaders in this year's Open Championship. The Racing Post, The Output, YouTube, in the paper. What are you expecting this week, Steve? I expect to see you all over my Twitter feed, all over my socials. What are we looking at?
Yeah. We try and mix it up. We got print offerings, we got audio visual offerings, and then we got the big watch along on Sunday. So we're well up for this. Don't you worry.
Good stuff. Right, throughout the week, we'll be tackling the Open here at the Racing Post. Right, not the only tournament this week though, Steve. The Barracuda. Now, I was a week too early last week. I thought the Barracuda was last week. Here we are. Slightly different format. Talk to us about that before we get stuck into it.
Yes, that's it. We've got the modified Stableford scoring system. So an albatross is worth 8 points, an eagle's 5 points, a birdie's 2 points, a par is zero, bogey minus one, double bogey or worse, minus three. So a scoring system that encourages aggressive golf. And we're at Old Greenwood. That's the name of the golf course. Old Greenwood, Tahoe Mountain, Truckee, California, 7,480 yards. Par 71, plays at altitude, so it's less than 7,480 yards in reality. Three par fives, a Jack Nicklaus design. It's hosted this event since 2020. As with most Nicklaus designs, the second shot is more difficult than the first. You know, the greens are well guarded, the dance floors fast and undulating, but we've got sunny and calm weather throughout. You need to make loads of birdies to win this.
Right, give us an attribute. Is it scoring? Is that what you're telling me, scoring?
Scoring, yeah. I mean, that's the best attribute every Pimmin week, isn't it? But accurate approaches and hot putting.
Right, okay, good stuff. 16 the field here. This is a proper market. I love it. 16 to 1. Keith Mitchell, Taylor Penrith at 20s. Thjorn Bjornsson, 22s. I know you're a big fan of Steve Stat. Stevens at 25s and Patrick Rogers at 28. How many have you got for this one?
I've got three.
Three, and the lead tip is?
The lead tip is Nick Dunlap, 35 to 1 with AK Betts, who won a much better PGA Tour event than this one at the start of the year, the American Express. He was still an amateur then. He was the best amateur in the world. He made the decision to turn pro straight away. Understandably, took time to settle as a PGA Tour pro who had suddenly left the college scene, missed a few cuts. But 11th place in the Houston Open at the end of March, really encouraging. 12th place at Memorial, signature event, even more encouraging than 10th place in the Rocket Mortgage Classic last month. Another positive effort. Powerful, top-class putter, naturally attacking player. He carded around a 60 in the Amex victory. I think he's going to make a huge impact on his Barracuda debut. His maiden PGA Tour title came in California, the Amex. I think his second PGA Tour title is also going to come in the Golden State.
Lovely stuff. Right, who else you got for us?
Next best is Chan Kim, 33 to 1 with AK Betts. He won two Korn Ferry Tour events last season. The Barracuda is not much better than your average Korn Ferry Tour gathering in terms of quality. He'll fear nobody in this lineup. He's playing well enough to be a leading contender. He's had six top 20s on the PGA Tour this year. He was 12th in the John Deere Classic the week before last, 10th in the ISCO Championship on Sunday. He closed with a 63, Dave. While you were all sleeping and getting over the England debacle, Chan Kim was firing a 63 in the ISCO. That was the best round on Sunday in that field. It set him up perfectly for this. He's won eight times on the Japan Tour, twice on the Korn Ferry. Now's time for a PGA Tour breakthrough.
Good stuff. And finally,
Brandon Wu. I'm going to woo you with Brandon Wu, 100 to 1 with AK Betts, a Californian playing in his home state this week. Akshay Bhatia won this last year, Dave. A young Californian enjoyed the conditions. Wu will feel at home this week. He was born a three-hour drive from this course, went to Stanford University in California. He won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship in 2020, looked like one of the best young players on the planet. He's twice finished second on the PGA Tour. He's twice finished third on the PGA Tour and 10th place in the ISCO on Sunday. A timely return to form, four rounds in the 60s. So a lively runner, a massive prize.
Lovely stuff. Right. Give us an overround then, an overview of both tournaments and selections in both.
You say the tournament, Dave, while I have a little breather.
Okay, brace yourself. The 152nd Open Championship.
Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood, Shane Lowry, Alex Noren, Victor Perez, and Sammy Vallimaki.
And the Barracuda.
Nick Dunlap, Chan Kim, Brandon Wu.
Now, I've got to ask you one more question. I didn't ask you, we were talking about the Open, and it's a pretty pointless question. There will be some markets on it, but it doesn't really matter. What do you think the winning score will be in the Open? Wow, I know you hate that one, but I'm asking you anyway.
A pointless question. Definitely not a pointless question, because they'll be betting on that. Betting on that, I don't think.
But you don't. You won't care if Schauffele wins at level par or 10 under. You won't care.
Didn't we get it right in the last?
Yeah,
in the last
that's
major?
What I'm asking you.
Yeah, Dale Whitner was pleased with that, wasn't he? I think it's so hard to get because it's so wind dependent. But if the wind blows all week, I think 6 under par might win it because. As I say, I think Stenson and Mickelson were just they were doing things that shouldn't have even been possible. I don't think you're going to get anyone going bananas on this course like they did. I think, we're going to get moderate breezes all 4 days, juicy rough. I think 6 has a chance, as a winning chance, which would be great to see, wouldn't it? A proper open test. Let it blow, let it blow. Come on, God. Let it blow.
Okay, right, good stuff, Steve. As ever, we thank you for your time, expertise, best of luck punting this week. Hopefully we're praying to the wind gods by the sounds of it. So that is the Open. Hopefully it'll be windy, and hopefully you will be amongst the winners. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Look out for Steve's content, whether it be written, audio, visual, all week, guiding you through the action at the Open Championship. Do remember to enjoy yourself watching the golf, gamble responsibly. And we'll see you, what time, Steve? 2:30 on Sunday?
Should have gone to the dentist, Dave.
2:30 for the watch along. We'll see you then.